You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Morning, everyone. We are down to the last installment of our series called On a Journey. This series is all about discipleship. We're looking at discipleship and we're looking at the book of John for us to further understand what it means to follow Jesus. Today, as we land this series, this is interesting because we're going to be talking about the last of this, which is walking with one. What is this about? We're going to be talking about fellowship here today, and this is quite interesting. This would be, to a certain extent, mindset-breaking. Turn your Bibles with me for a moment to John chapter 13. We will just be looking at two verses. What we're going to be doing is we will comb through these two verses as we go into the application part later. I pray that God will give us the grace to obey as we start looking into this. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. It says here, here's what Jesus said. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The verse that we've read, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, this is just a part of what we call the farewell discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning to say, this specific text right here, John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, it's part of the farewell discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we beg to ask, what is the final discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ? We understand that Jesus was about to be betrayed and be crucified. And what he did was, in a single night, can you imagine this? Gathered his disciples. This was the night leading to the Last Supper. This was the same time wherein he started washing his disciples' feet, eventually to his crucifixion. So meaning to say, we are looking at a time wherein Jesus was at the tail end of his life. And what he did was quite interesting because he gathered his disciples and he started teaching them so many things, important truths. Perhaps that was a night wherein it was so emotional. It was so intense, very important time for the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. Many of the important truths that he wants his disciples to understand and embrace were given during this time. So meaning to say, these are important truths that we can find coming from Jesus. It's like when you have someone who's dying and they wanted to say a few things, like they will tell you, anak, yung kapatid mo, alagaan mo. You know what I'm talking about? Siyempre, ikaw iba iniisip mo. Asan yung pera, mami? Asan yung pera? Yung kapatid mo, alagaan mo. Tapos ano pa, mami? But anyway, every single thing that the dying person was saying was very important. And this is one of them for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how important this is. Now, in this specific section of this farewell discourse, Jesus points out the importance of fellowship. In fact, John chapter 13, verse 34, 35. If you look at this verse and you would try to sort it out and interpret it, you'd come to understand that Jesus was coming up with a conclusion, which is not quite like how we understand these things when it comes to discipleship. In here, in this specific section right here, if you look at John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, you'd come up with a conclusion that what Jesus was essentially saying was, fellowship would be the high definition display of what a discipleship relationship looks like. So it's like an HD display of what discipleship is. If we are to tell the world what discipleship looks like, and we want to present to them what discipleship looks like, it's all about fellowship. If you look at that, I'm not quite sure if I was taught right, because that's quite off. Because if you ask me, isn't it that if you're talking about the highest definition display of what discipleship looks like, isn't it that we should be talking about fishing for the lost? Is it right? Well, we can sense it that way. If you ask me, if I say discipleship, I start thinking about one-to-one. I start thinking about victory group. But yet, here in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus was like essentially saying, and may I submit this to everyone, it is not our fishing for the lost that displays discipleship more, but it is actually our fellowship with believers. That's quite shocking in a sense, because like what I said, our idea of discipleship always begins with us reaching for the lost. But Jesus' idea of discipleship, if we are to showcase this to the world, is a picture of our relationship with each other. We think about one-to-one. We think about the preaching the gospel to the lost. But now Jesus, for him, it was like saying it is not evangelism, but fellowship. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying do not evangelize. Because truth of the matter is there's no one to fellowship with if you don't evangelize. We've talked in length about this last Sunday. I'm just saying that if we are to showcase the world what discipleship is, what we ought to present to them, Exhibit A, is fellowship. What we ought to present to them is the relationship of Blaze with Omar. The relationship of Kevin with Kini. That is what we present to the world. If we are to present what discipleship looks like to the world, what we present to them is the fellowship of those dads who love biking at 4 a.m. A lot of times, our thought of what discipleship is my one-to-one selfie with the person I'm doing one-to-one with. There is discipleship, but that is not the entirety of it. It's like, if I want to make discipleship attractive, well, this is a message for believers. This specific sermon right here is for those who profess to be Christians. Clear enough? Now, if I want to make discipleship attractive to the world, attractive to my unbelieving friends, attractive to the lost, fellowship it is. Why do we say that? Like what I said, we're just looking at two verses here. But check this out. In verse 34 to 35, it says here, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also have to love one another. Friends, in these two verses, we see this phrase, love one another, 3 times. You know this, that when something is repeated twice, you know that there is an emphasis to that. But for something to be repeated thrice, Jesus was up to something. He was like saying, don't you ever forget this. I hope you're not crazy to think that to love one another is only for extroverts. I keep hearing that around, I'm an introvert. Well, that is your God-given personality. But just because you are not an extrovert doesn't mean that you cannot show love. Come on now. So this has nothing to do with your personality. This has nothing to do with my personality. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not the most relational person out there, but I have no excuse. It doesn't mean that the only person that should be loving, I guess it's Mav. No. This is a blanket statement for every single Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, it says you have to love one another. So first question here is, who is the one another that Jesus was talking about here? To answer the question, this is very huge. Who is the one another that Jesus is talking about here? Now, in order for us to answer that, we answer that question by asking another question. Who was he talking to that evening? Friends, guess what? The disciples. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 of them. Oh, guys. Love one another. So it's not like that's for James only. No, he's talking to everyone. He was telling them to love one another. So this love for one another that Jesus says is how the lost basically will know if we are Jesus' disciples. This love for one another equates to fellowship with believers. Fellowshipping with each other. Jesus is saying, in short, that fellowship with believers is indeed our high-definition display of discipleship to the lost. This is what we present to them. Question is, why? How come? Would you want an answer to that? We'll answer that later. Because there are certain things that we have to understand. First things first, there's a few things that I'd like for us to see here. It says here, John chapter 13, verse 34, it says here, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Check this out. He says, this is a new commandment. Think about this with me for a while, friends. Folks, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, 12 of them. After many teachings and discourse, in this farewell discourse, he starts telling them, here's a new commandment that I give to you. But if you come to look at that, what is new to the commandment to love one another? It's not new. Because Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Moses himself has written these things down. How could it be a new commandment when it is already an existing commandment? Jesus says, a new commandment, but this is already an existing commandment. Is he ignorant of the book of Leviticus? I don't think so. You know why? Because he himself said, quoted the same verse. When he was asked, "You, sir, which is the greatest of all commandments?" Here's what he says. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." He was quoting Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, because he says, "There is no other commandment greater than this." So when he said this is a new commandment, it wasn't like he was ignorant of what the law says. It's just that he says that this is indeed a new commandment. But like what he said, this is not a new commandment anymore because this is written in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. So what is new with the commandment to love one another if it's already as old as the Ten Commandments? Now look at this. The answer, all of these things are just found in these verses. You realize that many of the questions that you have in your Bible reading, in the verses that you read, many of the answers are found right there. Here's what it says. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Check this out. "The part where the newness of the command is here, just as I have loved you." In the Old Testament, it says, "Love others as you have loved yourself," or "as you love yourself." I think a person would be lying if he says, "I don't love myself." That's at the core of our sinfulness. But here, John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, is different because what Jesus was saying is, "Love others just as Jesus loves us." Whoa. Let me try to summarize these things so far. I want to make sure we are on the same page. Jesus said, this is a new commandment. He was talking to his disciples. So meaning to say, this is not talking about you, Peter, and your fisherman friend out there that I have not met yet. No, he's talking about you, Peter, and Levi, and Matthew. Peter and John. He's talking about the believers. The community of 12 that he has. He says, "I give you a new commandment, love one another." Okay, we already know that because we know that it's written in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, that we ought to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Love each other as I have loved you. What does it look like? It simply means that we ought to love in a self-sacrificing way. We ought to love beyond comfort. We ought to love beyond convenience. We ought to love with sweat, tears, and even blood, even love to even death. Ooh. Because his pattern of love is his love for us. Here's how it looks like. How am I supposed to relate with David? How am I supposed to relate with Lloyd? The answer that we find there is, I relate with him by loving him, and I ought to love him as how Christ loved me. Mukhang mahirap po, ano? Sacrificial, forgiving, not about your convenience. Well, in short, it's like this, not about you. Why is Jesus commanding his disciples this new command? Verse 35 says, "By this, all people will know that you're my disciples." ESV says, "By this, people will know that you are my disciples." In NLT, it says, "By this, you will prove that you are his disciples." Crazier, BBE says, "By this, it will be clear that you are my disciples." So in fact, what we have here is that a gauge for whether or not we are true disciples of Christ is seen in our love for one another. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Why? Because it is only this such kind of love, a Christ kind of love, that people will see a vivid display of what discipleship looks like, of what a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. It is when our forgiveness for our fellow believers resembles Christ's forgiveness that the lost will see that we are truly disciples of Christ. It is when our sympathy for fellow believers resembles that of Christ that people will see that we are truly his disciples. It is when our generosity for our fellow believers resembles the generosity of Christ that people will see and prove of your being a disciple of Christ. Here's what's odd. Usually we think that it is mainly our reaching out to the lost, our serving, our blessing the lost, that people will see the genuineness of our discipleship, of our being a disciple of Christ. Parang ganito po. Let me put it this way. Let's say Kevin here is my friend. He's my basketball buddy. And he knows for a fact that I'm a Christian. He's not a Christian. And you folks do this, right? If you reach out to someone, ano nangyayari? If you try to reach out to someone, sobrang bait mo. Is it right? Bro, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, Bose. What do you want? Okay lang, sige. Hirap na ako, pero sige. For the sake of the gospel. Here's what's odd. We think that it is our reaching out to them, our being kind to them, that displays for them what being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. To a certain extent, it is true, but that is not the entirety of it. You know why? It is not your kindness to them. Here's what they're gonna tell you. Well, thank you. I realize that these Victory people, they're everywhere. They're at Abyss. Yes, they're noisy, but they're kind of kind to me. I feel the love, so I'm gonna give this a try. One leader's bribing me, attend church, and lunch after. All right, I'm gonna give it a try. But you know what they see? What they see actually is, what's make or break is my relationship with my fellow believer. What's make or break for Kevin is how I relate with Blaze. A lot of times we think the other way around. We think about how we relate to him. Have you folks understand this? So like what I said, what is make or break for him is my relationship with Blaze. I'm not saying hindi tayo magkaka-tension. But how we resolve our tension speaks loudly to this guy right here. What do you want me to do? Bro, tweet kita mamaya. Nag-away kami, titweet ko to. Blind item in the church. It's crazy if you see this. Here's what he says. By this, all people. Whoa. Yikes. All people. Your teachers, your boss, your employees, your co-workers. The guy at the vulcanizing shop. Your ninang, your ninong, your dad, your mom. All people will know. It is in our love for each other here that they see if we are truly following Christ. In short, if we really love the lost, then we have to love each other in the church community as Christ loved us. Because our love for each other is what the lost mainly see. There's this guy, a Christian man called Valentinus. It's crazy because he did something. History.com says, here's what he did. He may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisons where they were often beaten and tortured. Here's what the situation was. What was happening was Valentinus did something. You folks watched Prison Break like 10 years ago, I think. This was like a Christian version of Prison Break. You know, it's not easy to be a Christian during his time. Christians were persecuted. You know what this guy did? He risked his life to set free fellow believers from Roman prisons because they were flogged, they were persecuted. And because of that, you know what happened? He was caught, he was clubbed, he was hit, he didn't die, he was beheaded. You know what's the effect of that? Of course, God was glorified. People gathered all the more to see these Christians. Why would he do something like that for his friends? It gained more interest to what Christianity is. So let me tell you this, friends. When you're eating together, people are watching. Napansin nyo ba yon? In the office? Your office mate did something wrong and it's normal. You did a mistake and people are, akala ko Christian ka. Have you ever thought about that? What? Can't I make a mistake? That's just basically how the world esteems Christianity. So, our attitude toward each other, whether we are together or when we are apart, is in itself a preaching to the people. God forbid that I will not become a stumbling block to the lost in these instances. Thomas Becket said, for the name of Jesus and the protection of the church, I am ready to embrace death. This is like the mantra of Christians
who were persecuted during their time. If you're caught as a Christian, here's what people would do. If you recant your faith, you leave. If you tell us where your fellow Christians are, you leave. Guess what? A lot of them do not leave. You know why? Because none of them will recant and none of them will point where their fellow church members are. At the expense of the life of their wife, life of their kids, their own life. Because of that, people are like, there is something about this Christianity. Why is this possible for them? And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. We love because he first loved us. Simplest illustration could be this tank faucet illustration. You're the faucet. The glass there is your brothers and sisters in Christ. The pipe there is your relationship with God, your devotional time, your quiet time, your meditation of Scripture. The tank there is who or what you are meditating. The water there is your words and your deeds. If we are giving out clean water to our brothers and sisters, to fellow Victory Group members, to fellow believers, who are always around us, by the way, whom we have a sense of familiarity with, the thirsty lost, that guy over there, just watching, the thirsty lost will see and point out what your real source is. And it's either of these two things. Either they will want what you have or they wouldn't want what you have. Or let me just say it this way. It's either they will want what we have or they wouldn't want what we have. Because they get to see it. How we love our fellow believers, show the lost, the non-believers, what kind of God we follow. The true state of how we really love people is seen in the people we are with the most, Victory people. Your Victory group, your relationship with people in the church. You know why they're watching? You know why they're looking at our relationship? Here's why he's watching. Because he's looking at, oh, this is the kind of treatment I will get from these people. So, it's either I'm in because it's so genuine kasi. Nagkakaroon sila ng attention pero grabbing forgiveness. Totoo pala, sa church na yun, parang dinideal nila yung gossip. So, pagka ganito, oh, pasok ako. Pero pag nakita ko parang, hoy, walang pinagkaiba sa bahay. Mas maigi pa sa bahay namin. Nagkakabati. Itong mga tong kasimbahan, parang no way. If that's how they're gonna treat me, then sorry guys. I'm not gonna give Christianity a try. You folks catch this. In case it's not convincing enough, it says here, look at this one. The first thing it says here, a new commandment I give to you. Here's what it simply means. This is a command. To be able to love one another, it's a command. To be able to display such love to fellow believers, it is a command. So if you call yourself a Christian, guess what? This is for you. Let me end this by giving some things that we can work on. First, perhaps, is backbiting and gossiping. Well, if you are someone who claims to be a Christian and you're right there in the middle of your participation in gossiping about other people in the church, then you ought to repent from that. Minsan idadampan natin sa social media. You know what happens? Pag nagparinig tayo sa social media, even if you don't put the names, there is this song leader in Victory. Last Sunday, she was wearing a leather jacket, color black. I simply do not like her. You vent things out on social media, you know what happens? We become a laughing stock to the world. Would you believe that I corrected someone because that person is honoring someone? Why would Archie correct someone who's honoring someone? You know why? Because while he was honoring someone, you know what, bro? It's your birthday today. And you know what, guys? I want to honor this guy on his birthday. This is who this person is. But after I've talked to him, I told him, you know what, bro? You did not honor the person. You honored yourself. In fact, may mga pahapi ako pa about that person. You actually honored yourself. You placed yourself right in the middle of that word. I thought you wanted to honor him on his birthday. Because if you ask me, to my knowledge, Bible says that we have to consider others better than yourselves. Friends, I'd like for us to have a culture of honoring here. Here's my question. When was the last time you honored someone who's close to you in the church? A lot of times we don't want to honor them because we feel insecure about them. These things send messages to people around us. To the lost. And remember, we used to have two student leaders here, and every noontime, they would be seated at the amphitheater of Siliman. After how many weeks, friends from class approached them, simply told them, "Ladies, I don't know what's with you, but there's just something different. Your love for each other is just so different. It seems so real." The person who asked ended up being discipled. As an application, friends, perhaps a quick application. I hope and pray for all of us that we get to act on John chapter 13, verse 34. To 35. Pag ikaw meron kang hindi pinapansin, you're giving someone a cold shoulder, bro, sister, doesn't honor God. You misrepresent Christ in that sense. As believers, we ought to honor and represent Christ in the most honorable way. If someone in this church community has offended you, I invite you and encourage you to release forgiveness to that person. If you've hurt someone, you've gossiped about someone in the church, you were backbiting someone, I invite you and encourage you to repent and ask forgiveness from that person. You cannot go on doing that. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, people will know that you are my disciples.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.